This is Beyond the Aisle.
So my obvious first question is, how did you two become so involved in cheese?
I grew up on a dairy farm in Western New York, and I have always loved food. And I ended up going to Cornell University because I was going to be a veterinarian, like any farm kid. My major ended up being applied economics and business management with a concentration on food industry management. So eventually went to Wegmans, and I've been there for 30 years. The first 10 years, I didn't hold a job longer than 6 to 8 months, so I wasn't sure whether I was really good or really bad, and they didn't know what the heck to do with me. And finally ended up back in the office as the cheese category merchant. So I've been working with our cheese program for 20 years and also worked with our deli department, started working with deli about 13 years ago.
I'm the affiner for Wegmans. So where I learned this, well, obviously I'm French, right? cannot miss this detail. But I grew up in Burgundy, France. And pretty much like Katie, I loved food, but I wanted to become a doctor. And of course, that was not for me, and I was just, I need to stick with food. So I got introduced to one of the 5 dairy schools in France. And the schools, you can learn everything about milk, cheese making, and ripening. So I went there, got my bachelor degree, master degree in cheese making, innovation, and quality. And then, I guess that was time to work, so I work for a couple of very small family-owned businesses. After this couple of years there, I got the opportunity to go back to the dairy school, but this time to work for the dairy school. And I work for the research and development department for approximately 6 years. That was awesome because as a research and development, you work on any trending product and everything with milk. So I work on ice cream, yogurt, fresh, soft ripened cheeses, semi-hard, hard cheeses, yogurt, cream cheese, processed cheese, pretty much everything with milk. After 6 years, I was able to be super lucky because Wegmans was looking for an affiner. And they reached out to me because I put my resume in English on LinkedIn. And they said, like, oh, do you know someone who wants to become the Wegmans affiner? I said, no, but I can come.
So he did.
So I did come. And again, you know, I was so thankful because, you know, Wegmans took care of pretty much everything. I barely spoke English at that time, I think. I was just like, I was fine with the cheese stuff. But, you know, as soon as I was, you know, outside talking about, you know, the weather or anything else, I was completely lost. So, but, you know, Wegmans is a great company, you know, they gave me like English classes and you know, help a lot around like the immigration process. So that was very, very helpful. But yeah, it's been 7 years now with Wegmans. Super excited, you know, it's I was very amazed, you know, the first time I visited Wegmans because when they reached out to me, I was like, wait, grocery retailer with cheese caves, I think I'm gonna be surprised by what I'm going to find out. And I came to see the building and I was like, wow, this is what, you know, cheesemaker and affiner in France have. So I was like amazed and I said, okay, I'm coming, I'm becoming your affiner.
So why do we have cheese caves and what do you do there?
The goal was to develop a central location that we could control the quality of the product. And in traveling and understanding and studying and really becoming a student of cheese, we discovered that in France, that's the model for soft ripened cheeses.
What we do at the caves is ripening or affinage. Affinage, you know, is a French term for ripening. But what is ripening? Ripening is bringing a fresh cheese to its peak of perfection. So developing the flavor and the texture until its peak of perfection. And how we do it? Well, we have to create the optimal environment for the cheese. So that's why we have cheese caves. We manage the temperature, the humidity, the ventilation, and the fresh air in our caves. And by doing this, this is how we are going to grow all the yeast, mold, bacteria that the cheesemaker is adding into the milk. So our goal is to express whatever is inside the milk or inside the cheese and making sure they are growing inside and outside of the cheese to develop the flavor and texture of the cheese.
So obviously the holidays are coming up, people are looking at entertaining, so I want to talk pairings. wine, charcuterie breads, anything that goes well with our cave ripe and cheeses. And I want to start with our 1916 goat cheese.
The age, more like a Sauvignon Blanc, will be a nice pairing. This one, because you start to have like a little bit more goat flavors, you can go a little bit more crazy on the charcuterie, maybe a chorizo might be a good one. But same thing, you know, for the bread, just keep it light with a baguette or maybe a sourdough mish. Professor's Brewery, one of the customer favorites. It's made with cow and sheep milk. So, you know, this is why it's so special to us. So, you know, after 2 weeks in our caves, the cheese is becoming, you know, very buttery, very nutty. You know, the sheep milk has higher fat content, and with the added cream, it's even higher. So it's something like very rich. Usually I have the question about like, should I eat the rind on soft ripened cheeses? I always said yes, the rind is part of the cheese. You know, if you eat Professor's Brewery without the rind, you are going to have like a nutty, buttery flavors. If you eat the rind, you are going to have the white mushroom flavor. So I always recommend, you know, take a bite with the rind and the paste so you have the full experience around the soft ripen. Pairings. Usually like double cream cheeses or triple cream cheese, as soon as you have like higher fat content, we always say go with sparkling wine. You know, the bubbles kind of break down the fat, and in your palate you have like, it's almost like clean your palate a little bit more. So sparkling wine is always a good one. Then charcuterie, I like pairing Professor's Brewery with soppressata dolce. I think it's just like complement each other. And then bread, crostini, you know, it's something, you know, you can see the texture is very creamy, so it's always something easy to cut or spread on top of a crostini, so just go very well together. Triple cream is at least 75% of fat in the solid of the cheese, so even higher. This is made by Lince in France, and they use only cow's milk. In terms of pairings, you know, sparkling wine because it's a triple cream cheese. I will say it pairs very well with the rosemary ham, you know, in our department. And then sourdough bread. You know, you can never go wrong with, you know, sourdough bread.
I think my favorite pairing with it actually is, I love the prosciutto di Parma or the San Daniele prosciutto is actually fabulous with the triple cream too.
So the Mayan Brie, when you try it and when you look at it, you see like a very unique texture. And because this is made by Guillotot, and it's a co-op, so it means that the company is owned by farmers, and it's made with only cow's milk. You know, it's kind of fresh with a slight sweetness to it. So it's just like, you know, very approachable brie when, you know, customers or people are starting to learn about, you know, bries and the ladder of intensity and whatever bries you can find, you know, in the world. In terms of pairings, Pinot Grigio is a very good pairing with my brie. It just complements the cheese very well. Brickyard salami or any cured salami, you know, will go well with the sweetness of the cheese. But you don't want something that is like overpouring the mild brie. And again, you know, time of bread, I will go with the sourdough bread, you know, because it's mild in flavor, so I will go with a mild bread as well. So if you compare the mild brie against the intense brie, so, you know, we kind of developed the ladder to make sure, you know, we have a brie for everyone, you know, shopping with us. So when you eat intense brie, you know, there is a lot going on. It's more like earthy. You can, you know, almost like have a little bit of like cooked vegetable. And usually you have like cauliflower that is part of the intense and what we are like targeting to eat. In terms of pairing, because it's intense, you know, you can go with red, like a Pinot Noir, you know, we'll do the perfect pairing. If you want a little bit more intense, you know, Bordeaux wine, you know, more like bold, full body, red wine will be good. I think this, we know, with like Serrano ham, prosciutto, di Parma will go very well because, you know, it's, you go with like the next level of charcuterie, you know, something like a little bit more smoky, intense, meaty, so that will go well with intense brie. And because, you know, it's more intense, bread, you can change the bread, you know, I like pairing my intense brie with like a multigrain when it's a little bit more like rustic, and it goes, you know, very well with a more intense cheese. All right, next we go from the traditional brie to brie made with like other type of milk. So we have our little Bo Peep, which is a brie with sheep milk. Trust me, when they told me the name, I had to ask, like, what is Little Bo Peep? I'm just like, I had no clue.
We came back and told Matt that we're calling it Little Bo Peep, and he didn't understand, like, the nursery rhyme. So we had to look it up and show him and explain what a nursery rhyme was. So anyways, it's just kind of funny.
I think I asked five times, like, what is the name again? I'm just like.
So they all have a little story behind them, right?
Yeah, but exactly.
It keeps it fun.
So Little Bo Peep is made by the same supplier that is producing our mild brie. So you are going to find like very similar rind development, very similar texture, but because it's made with sheep milk, you know, it's bring, you know, the complexity of the flavor to another level. You know, it still have this freshness, sweetness you find in the mild brie, but because of the sheep milk, you have this like bite that is like very specific to cheese made with sheep milk. So this one, you know, a little bit more complex to pair with some wine and charcuterie, but I always find like Chardonnay is always like a good pairing with Little Bo Peep charcuterie. I find it like, you know, black pepper salamis is just like a very good pairing because it has a little bit of, you know, spice and kind of complement well the sheep flavor of the cheese. And then I will go again with, you know, the sourdough or baguette for that cheese.
Oh, here's one of my favorites. Got your goat brie.
Well, I got this one, you know, that was an easy one.
Yeah,
I need explanation for that one. This cheese is made by a cheesemaker in Canada. So that's the only brie that is not coming from France. But they have a very good quality brie lineup. And we found that the goat brie was just amazing in terms of quality. So we decided to work with them in order to, you know, expand our range of brie with another milk type, because this is only goat's milk. In terms of pairing, I will say Sauvignon Blanc. I like to pair goat cheese with Sauvignon Blanc. I think it's always like a good pairing between the cheese and the wine. For charcuterie, maybe Rosette d'Orléans. You know, this is like, you know, between it's like a cured salami, but bigger size, a little bit more fatty. So it just goes very well with the goat brie. But again, you know, it's just, you know, personal preferences. But you know, it's just an example again. And then bread, I will continue to stick, you know, with like mild bread. So a baguette will probably do well with that goat brie.
And then what about flavored bries like garlic and herb?
So this one, you know, same sweetness, freshness, but with like all the garlics and herb flavors. In terms of pairings, wine, it can become very, very tricky because when you have like herbs in the middle, you know, I find, you know, a lot of like wine that doesn't go well with that cheese, but usually Chardonnay is a good pairing. You know, I think it's a safe pairing with garlic and herb. In terms of charcuterie, I will go probably with some fennel cuna, you know, because it's a little bit more like herbaceous, you know, with the fennel inside that salami. That's good pairings. And then, you know, bread, keep it simple, you know, a very plain, well, not plain, but mild bread, like a mish bread will do well.
Okay, so we have to talk about one of my all-time favorites, Baby Blue.
I think that's the easiest name I got. again, you know, I'm going back to the suppliers of the mild brie. Well, we are lucky. They are making a lot of different brews. And they said, oh, we can make a brie with like blue mold inside. So it's a mix between a blue cheese and a brie. So you find, you know, this like unique texture, rind, and it's fresh, sweet, and you get just a little bit of like blue mold. So it's very easy for people to start, you know, their like journey into cheese. And, you know, when they want to learn about blue cheese, then that's a go-to. Go try Baby Blue, and then, you know, you can start and climb the ladder. But same thing, you know, this one, I think it's a great beer cheese. You know, everything that hoppy, you know, IPA, Belgium, wheat, will go very well with your Baby Blue. A sourdough mish bread will go perfect with your cheese.
And if you have a tenderloin steak, take it off the grill, take a little piece of this and let it kind of self-baste when the steak is still hot, is like amazing sauce.
And then the last two cheeses, the first one is Bon Vivant. So again, going back to that great supplier that is making the mild brie, the Little Bo Peep, the Baby Blue, they're also making a wash rind, which is called Bon Vivant. So it's very similar to the mild brie, but because it's a wash rind, you start to have a little bit of like, it's a little bit more meaty, a little bit more savory, but still like very, very light for a wash rind. So same thing, you know, if you want to start learning about wash rind, start with the Bon Vivant, because this is the mildest wash rind that you can find at Wegmans, and then, you know, go climb the ladder. So talking about climbing the ladder, the other cheese we have is called Sake to Me. And this one is special because it's made in France by a small family-owned business, and they are making our Epoisse and our Sake to Me. And the cool thing about this is like they partially age or ripen the cheese, and then at the caves we kind of unbox the cheese and start washing the cheese with some sake. So sake, and that's why it's my favorite cheese, because I think the sake really brings uniqueness and like a grassy, almost like a rice, you know, flavor to the cheese. And it's also my favorite because when you look at it, it has two different textures. So it's kind of creamy under the rind, has a little bit more dense in the center of the paste. So if you eat the center, you are going to have more fresh, lactic, very, very acidic flavors. And the creamy is more like savory, grassy. So when you take a bite, you know, with the rind and the paste, you have a high complexity cheese. Time of pairings, Pinot Noir. This is made in Burgundy, so you know, a red Pinot Noir from Burgundy will do well. You can use sake, you know, to change a little bit, because it's, you know, a sake wash, so I think, you know, it's just like spot on in terms of pairing. Then Serrano ham, Prosciutto di Parma, you know, something like savory, salty will go very well with sake to me. And because it's a wash rind with, you know, higher intensity, like multigrain, the 6-seed bread will go very well, like more like rustic bread, a little bit more intense in flavors.
That's pretty much the full range. I mean, we do have others, but these are kind of the tried and true favorites, right?
Yep.
What if our customers are looking for some non-alcoholic options for pairing?
I think sometimes you can get some fun kombuchas actually that'll pair really well.
If you like tea, mm-hmm. Soft ripened cheeses goes very well with tea as well.
So as we're wrapping up, is there anything you really want our customers to know?
20 years ago when I started working with our cheese program, the one thing that was always really important was our knowledge-based service, our KBS as we call it. And our folks have always been, it's been part of, you know, the history of the department and sharing knowledge and passion and how to create and how to entertain and how to just have these great products every day. And we never want cheese to be intimidating. We want it to be fun. We want people to feel welcomed. We want to be able to invite them in and try anything that we have. So if you go to any one of our cheese shops and you see a piece of cheese that you want to try, we will open that up for you so that you can try it.
Thanks for listening. Talk soon.